Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I pressed the wrong thing. Lacey, did you do that?
Did you do that on
purpose? No, I swear I didn't.
Are
it's because you,
sure?
You said,
what
don't
did you press.
You said a rude
said,
word to me.
I said, don't F it up. Because
because you did say a rude word to me, I panicked and hit the wrong button. I think you find
it
your fault.
The E note on your Casio keyboard, what was it?
You wait and see.
Oh, a surprise.
Yes,
no, because I didn't want people to think that we'd done it deliberately now that we're always... I didn't want people to think, oh, it's a hilarious way to start the show.
No, that was completely... Well, they've all been completely genuine. Let's face it, we're not clever enough to fake... amateurishness. We're too busy trying to fake professionalism.
Okay, fair dues. But now, you see, now I've lost my momentum. You have to sing it now. Thank you. Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch. It's like I need a fanfare before I start.
Yeah.
An in-depth look at the Archers with me, Harriet Carmichael, Jeff Thomas, Lucy V. Freeman, and our executive director, Cooper. Now, before we make a start on your emails, what a week, guys. Let's have a recap on what happened this week in Ambridge.
We began the week with Adam and Alice cooking dinner. Adam kept talking about the little people, and I thought he meant Alice was seeing leprechauns again, but it turned out he meant the children, Thingy and Whatsit.
I forgot.
Jacob's putative affair that only I believe in or am aware of, and the woman who is doing exciting things with horses, let's hope Jacob's not too much of a disappointment after that, is paying for Kate to sod off to South Africa to take Nolly's heart off romance, giving him a chance to Roger Catherine the Great again. This was all pre-Jenny Darling's demise. Once she had demised, Adam came into his own.
Oh, God.
If ever there was a man whose voice was designed to soothe the grieving, it is Adam. Everyone said and did all the usual English post-death things. She died doing what she loved. Shall I put the kettle on? You must be in shock. She was one in a million. We must find the child of her husband's lover that she brought up as his own and tell him and at the same time discover that he's a gigolo. All the usual things. Chris and Alice drove to London to tell Rory. He didn't answer the phone because it was Alice ringing, and yet it didn't seem to occur to the rest of the family that it might be nice if one of them did it instead, rather than the one who called him a cuckoo in the nest and for whom he has a pathological hatred. Not sure if they've even told Debbie, to be honest. She'll find out when they do one of those round-robin letters in Christmas cards. Dear Debbie, busy year for us here. Little Martha's keeping us all occupied. Brian's athlete's foot is coming on a treat. Obviously bit of a downer when Mum died, but best wishes to all. Anyway... You could tell Chris and Alice were in London because there were sirens in the background.
Weren't there just?
I would imagine in the bit of London that Julie Gran lives, there are fewer sirens than there are foreign exchange traders ostentatiously arranging coke deals on their phones. But the only bit of tape they could find was an offcut from London's burning, so they used that.
On a loop.
It took, as Rory predicted, about 2.5 seconds for the entire Aldridge clan to implode in one of those messy family fights like on a cartoon where there's clouds of dust and legs and arms poking out. Turns out Jenny Darling knew her heart was on the fritz, but decided, sensibly, not to tell them because she knew somehow they'd make it all about them and she wanted to enjoy what was left of her time in bloody peace. And what of the extended family? Pat sounded remarkably chipper about her husband's bereavement, because presumably all the callers were an excellent excuse to clear the soup backlog. Neil waded in for a hug with a horrified sounding Brian. David found himself entirely out of his depth once more, but managed to make Martha rather less of a bosh of comforting Brian than he had of comforting Ben. And Ruth attempted to comfort Rory in her inimitable fashion by sounding faintly annoyed with him.
Yes.
I love the fact that Jenny Darling referred to herself as one in her letter to herself, which was ferreted out by Alice and read to the assembled squabbling company. Jenny Darling also said that she had chosen to pin down her thoughts in writing, which was a good bloody job, as we'd have been a bit stuffed if she'd decided to express herself through the medium of art. So there we are, the end of an era. Enraging, hilarious, sublimely competent Jenny Darling gone to the great tagine in the sky. Oh. Just one question remains. Who's going to update the village website now? The end.
I was just thinking the same. Mm. Oh, thank you, Angie. Wasn't it lovely when
we're calling her Angie now, are we? Well, because there's just because the continuity did, you think you can.
Yeah, because that was the most moving part of the whole week when they said thank you. You know, I was like, I was so cross all week.
Yes.
I was genuinely sad, but because all those horrible squabbling children was so awful.
Yeah.
It just made me outraged. But then when the continuity person said thank you, Angie. Yeah. I felt so sad.
It was that I just messaged after Friday's episode. I just messaged Harriet and said, "Oh God, I'm in bits now," because it was the
that
round.
Was after you'd messaged. That was before you. After you'd messaged to say you're really hungover.
Yeah,
can we not do the show?
The two do rather go hand in hand, I find. But the what was I going to say? It was when they did a round of applause in the pub for her.
Yes. Yeah.
And even though there were ostensibly only five people there because Tony said, there's hardly anyone here, Brian, it'll be fine. She suddenly got a round of applause from the Royal Opera House, which was lovely because that's what she deserved.
No, it was so funny when suddenly Jolene went, "Oh, hi, Brian."
Bloody hell.
Brian just jumped off his stool. He was like, "You said no one was coming. I'm literally in pieces."
It's like the world's worst surprise party.
Oh my God. Wasn't it, though? It really was. But no,
do you
I
think
so
Kenton
pleased.
Was there with his megaphone and a party popper?
Oh, my God. Probably. But I was so pleased because it was actually the only time that they'd raised a glass.
Yeah.
And I can't understand why, although it's such a sad, sad death, it's not a terrible tragedy because she's a granny, you know, she's not
yep.
a
And she met her grandchildren and she didn't suffer. She just sort of went pop, which is good. And,
exactly. She wasn't ill. I mean, she was ill, but she wasn't ill. Anyway, but
and she was with it enough to decide not to tell them because
bloody right.
It's her choice. Flipping heck.
That's why I was so angry with those horrible children because you just go, how dare you disrespect your mother in this way? It was her decision, nothing to do with you. If that's how she wants to live the rest of her life, so be it. Why on earth are you so entitled that you know, exactly as you said, why shouldn't she? Also, it's like, no, you've got to have open heart surgery because I need the extra childcare. And of course, lots of people don't want to do that because the risks are really high and you don't want to end up being ill or worse in hospital. Yeah. So I was so, so cross, Lucy. Mm. But it really made me laugh when Pat was like, "Oh, I'm so sorry, Lillian. Yeah. I mean, I did know. yes, I did. I've known for ages. But no, she didn't want to tell you. Pat such a prat."
And then Tony sort of panicked and said, "No, just leave this with me, Pat. I'll deal with it." So she said, "Okay." And then you could tell she was hovering outside the door because as soon as things got tricky, she like popped. "Oh, actually, Lillian, we did think about it, really." And I thought, so when he said go away, you went 2 foot outside the door.
It was classic.
I'm just polishing the brickwork out here while I listen.
If I was Lily, I would have just punched her and left, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Yes.
Because that's the thing, for Lillian, you can totally see why she was upset because one of her siblings knew and she was in the dark. But, you know, for the kids, just get over yourselves and look after each other and...
Yeah.
You know, be so grateful that you had your mum for this long as well, you stupid children.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I hated them so much. But then also when they were reading the sad letter.
Passing it from one to the other. It was like the nativity again, wasn't it?
Because it's really... I thought Kate was really convincing because she broke down and that was very convincing. Yeah. But it's hard to read a letter, isn't it, on the radio, but it not be a sort of audiobook.
Yes.
So...
Yeah,
she I think Adam. Yeah,
Adam just went totally audible, didn't he? Audible.com. Yeah.
But my, what wasn't banging on was my heart. And I just couldn't stop grinning from ear to ear at those bits. It made me laugh because they were obviously supposed to be deeply moving.
Yes.
But it's very difficult to do that, isn't it, on the radio?
And also, she is their radio mother. You know, she has been acting alongside them for years and years and years. And,
yes.
You know, it must be odd. It must be a part of you must kind of connect with her on that sort of maternal level. And then maybe, you know.
Absolutely.
But giving them the letter to read suddenly put it squarely back in totally theatrical territory.
That's exactly right. Because when they're talking about memories without reading it from a letter, it can sound really convincing because you can connect with a genuine, truthful memory that you've had with Angie. But then, trying to sound like you're reading is so difficult, isn't it, when you are actually reading.
and also, you wouldn't read it out to your... You'd just go, this is really emotional, read this. Pass it on.
Go, listen to this bit.
Yeah.
And... But it's just poor old Adam again, isn't it? He's heavy-handed with it.
Yes, he is.
But I was glad because I thought, oh no, Adam's going to do crying. But actually, he didn't.
breathing again.
He did shaking, which is totally in character. So to be fair to him, he completely stayed in character.
And I love the fact that Adam has now turned into a middle-aged housewife making the Christmas lunch all the time. Every time anyone's in, he's saying, will you get out of the way? I'm trying to do this. Where's that bit of paper? Who's moved the carrots? Where is everybody? I want everybody at the table, you know.
He's so annoyed that he has to arrange the funeral.
Yeah.
In my very limited experience, it's more convenient if one person... Yes. Takes that lead, isn't it? I mean, of course it's a huge chore, but I mean, it's really to be so cross about it. It's your mum's funeral. You'll probably only have to do it once in your life. He was so angry, wasn't he? Why do I have to phone the funeral director? Bron! Where's Bron? He should do it.
Then Kate's going... I've made an envelope, put everything in there, and then he was cross about that. And he said, you didn't tell me. Yes, I did tell you.
I just can't get over. I mean, that's what I was saying to you. It's because it's a drama. Oh, thanks. Thanks so much. I've got a gin, Lucy.
I'm
going to talk about them because we thought we couldn't do this episode without a gin.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a special gin, haven't we?
We have got a special gin.
But so cheers. Here's to Angie Piper.
Cheers.
Nearly 60 years, they said.
Yeah.
I knew it'd been amazing, 50. That's incredible. What a massive loss for the show.
There was a scriptwriter story, and I don't know which scriptwriter it was. I've got a feeling it wasn't Kerry. But there was a letter written into the BBC Archer's production office in sort of the 1980s, early 1980s, when things were slightly more... even more chauvinist than they are now. And it was a concerned woman writing in to Brian Aldridge saying, I have bad news. I'm afraid I've heard your wife moonlighting on a French language tape. I'm just letting you know that she does actually have extra income. So it might be something you want, you know. Have you approved this sort of thing? Have you approved this? Did you know that your wife was doing this? Yeah, seriously.
Oh my God. Well, I really recommend reading a article that Kerry Davis wrote maybe a year ago on the Archer's website. If you just Google Angela Piper, Kerry Davies, 50 years, and it's about her having done 50 years on the show. And she's got some amazing stories on there about people, what they wrote into her. Yeah. And they'd ask her to move in with them because she was a single mum. But to the point that it got really stalkery, and I think they had to get the police involved. But I mean, that's the thing. But actually, that's the thing. Someone like Jenny, who has been on the show for so long, is real even to someone like me, who's only been listening for 30 years.
A mere...
I mean, I was very young when I started. But That's why it's so, it's, you know, you do feel, but I have felt so sad this week. Well, I mean, you know, I'm not all day, every day, but it's, it is. Yeah. And then this, I was working with a producer this week and he was coming, they were coming to record at my house, and he came over and his daughter is my friend and she's called Jenny. And I opened the door to him and the first thing he said was, "Oh my God, my wife is so upset that Jenny's died."
Oh no.
And I was like, "Oh!" Sick. Oh my God, I didn't know. But of course he was talking about the Archers because he knows that I love the Archers and da, da, da. But it's that thing, isn't it? It's you could say to anybody who listens to Radio 4, "Oh my God, it's terrible, you know, such sad news about Jenny," and because it's so real.
Well, I had an Uber driver yesterday last night who who said that we were listening to the Archers on the way, and he just kept saying, "It's so sad, it's so sad."
Oh,
all the way we were driving to Walthamstow.
Oh no, it was actually very sad when Brian broke down, wasn't it? Because we've never really heard him be that vulnerable
before. Well, he's so busy trying to protect himself and defend himself from whatever the latest wrongdoing he's wrong done, and to just hear him go, "I let her down," you know, it was really sort of that was genuinely moving, because say sort of, "I didn't deserve her," and it's like the whole country went, "Bloody right, no you didn't," but for whatever bonkers reason she wanted to stay with you, so you know.
But I think as well what I found really interesting this week was, because we got quite a lot of her history, we found out why she did stay with him, and also she wasn't a complete angel.
Yeah.
Because if you read that Kerry Davies thing, it talks about her. She had not a physical affair, but a sort of mental affair with John Tregoran.
Yeah.
And also then she did have, we think, an affair with her ex-husband.
Yes.
Jonathan or somebody who came back. So she wasn't...
No, that was Roger Travers Macy.
That's it.
And then it was John Tregoran that we think she had an affair with.
Right, So she wasn't a complete angel herself. And then, as Kate was saying, you know, she used to be, so in a way I guess she stuck with Brian because she just thought she can deal with him, and because even though he was such a twat, she can it's sort of like she was always looking at the bigger picture, wasn't she, which was her family. That's why she stuck it out with him. But I found
well, he stuck it out with everyone else, sadly.
If you're going to stick it in with, I mean, stick it out with, but I felt when Brian broke down as well, I felt really sorry for him, because I thought, when my mum died, I felt it was so sad for me and my siblings, but we have families now. But actually for my dad, who was left on his own, I felt it was so much sadder, because you know, you're number two, and you're That's part of your body gone in a way, isn't it? And but I felt like with Alice and Adam and the other one, Kate, they didn't even really bother with Brian.
No.
He was just annoying to them all week, wasn't he?
Well, that's what Adam said today. Oh, keep him out there, out the way. So I think you're going to sit in a kennel or something.
Why don't you go and give him a hug and tell him you love him? And
because he would have reeled back an alarm, as he did when... He sort of adopted a defensive kung fu stance when Neil went there, like, don't you even try it, Carter.
That's as you were saying. There were some brilliantly hilarious moments. Because as we all know, death and grief can become so awkward, can't it?
Yes,
Even David was like, I might go over and see Brian. And Ruth was like, really? Are you sure? And David was like, oh, I don't know, actually. And it's like...
Yeah, it'll be a bit icky, won't it? No, I won't. It's fine.
So
it's fine.
It's like, don't just go, you dicks. You don't have to see him. At least go and take a pie or something. But that, you know, the awkwardness of grief can be amusing, can't it?
I sort of lost track of where everybody was, because I couldn't figure out whose very small kitchen they were all clearly in. And because it was Willow Cottage, and then and then somebody said, "Oh no, he can't be there." And then Peggy turned up somewhere, and I thought, where, because I said, we can't leave her at home, and I thought, where is she then?
Oh, no. Poor Poor Peggy. I mean, that's also that's probably another reason Jennifer didn't want to mention.
Yeah,
because she didn't want to.
Yeah,
you know, why would you want? Because I guess if I was Jennifer, you'd be thinking, well, Peggy's probably only got a couple more months, so why would I inflict that news on her? And yeah, poor old Peggy. I guess we won't really hear what she. Oh, never mind, dear. Just like, Peggy's never been one for emotion, has she?
Oh, dear. Yes.
Chin up, dear. Yeah. But the best scene, as you pointed out, I can't believe you mentioned it because I was so desperate to talk about it, was the sirens. In London. I can't believe they just didn't get Big Ben bombing in the background.
And the Grenadier Guards marching up and down doing the trooping of the colour.
As you said.
Boom! As well.
Surely she's in leafy West
London. Yes, yes.
But also the sound effect was looped. I mean, it was one car circling the block of flats. It's more likely you'd hear a helicopter.
Yeah,
really.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
But it was classic.
How can we let them know we're in? I thought we're either going to have that, we're going to have Mind the Gap.
And I'm sorry, but if Rory. I think if you had 17 missed calls, as you said, why was it just Alex? Yeah. Maybe Debbie should have phoned Rory.
Yes, or somebody that he likes.
And if you see you've got 20 missed calls, you're likely to think, oh my God, one of my parents is dead.
Yes.
You know, that is just, of course, it's terrible news. So it was so if I was Alex, I just wouldn't have bothered. I would have been like, if you're not going to bloody pick up.
Yeah.
But that was all quite...
Well, it's because of Alice's
residual
guilt, isn't it, with him, because of what she said.
I liked Chris being all manly and like, leave her alone. Yeah?
Step back, Rory.
Step back from the drunk, all right? She's my drunk.
I've got nothing under this leather apron, and I'm not afraid to show.
Julianne comes in. I know who I'll take to the barbican. You, young man. You're a blacksmith, you say.
Julianne covered in corn plasters.
I hope she came out in a silk dressing gown.
Yes.
I wish we'd heard it rustling.
Yes.
And some clip-clop sort of fluffy
mules. Yes, exactly. What do you think she called him back to say?
Yes, that's interesting, isn't it?
I think she called him back to say, don't be too long. I'll expect you back at work again in a week's time or something.
Yeah. Well, because... But then, because he said to Ruth, I mean, Rory, even Rory I was pissed off with. He was being such a brat.
Mm.
And I know he's in, you know, turmoil because he's feeling that his grief isn't justified and all that sort of stuff. But just go. Mm. Again, just grow up, you twat. But anyway, because he's turned into an evil pantomime character.
He has, yeah. When he wasn't even going to let them in. You know, we've come all this way, Rory. And it was like, ha, ha, ha. Stay out there in the snow with the police car going up and down behind you.
There's a lot of crime in my street.
Stand again, there for long enough and you'll find out. Ha, ha, ha.
And even when he was talking to Ruth, he was so rude and mean, wasn't he? In his evil. It's because he's played Richard III at the Globe.
Yes. What I also liked was the fact that they clocked, because this is a very London thing.
Yeah.
People outside London come to a London terraced house and think, oh dear, they've not done very well, have they? Little realising that terraced house is worth about 750 grand. And for them, to clock that this is, it's lovely, isn't it? It's a really nice apartment. I was thinking to myself, I bet you'd actually be thinking, ooh, how awful having to live in a high rise. It's like a tower block. Is it council?
But it is near a canal.
Yeah.
So I reckon she must be in one of those Battersea river flats, don't you?
But no one outside
Bermondsey or something.
No one outside the lunacy of London real estate has any appreciation of how completely nuts it is. And it's really, really hard to, because you just see them in this looking at estate when people bring their parents down, you know, when they're trying to coax the bank of mum and dad into, you know, forking over deposit money for a house. You see all these young couples in their 20s sort of trundling around, taking their parents to the nice tapas bar and the nice wine bar because they don't want to show them the shitty bit that they actually go to. And, you know, in order to kind of persuade them to part with their cash, you can see the parents looking in the estate agent window and going, how much?
Yeah, for the tiniest box, darling, flat.
But you come and live in Bootle with us and, you know, you can get a 5-bedroom house for that much money. So I was not convinced for a second that Alice and Chris, particularly Chris, would have any idea that it was a nice flat they were looking
at. He actually said, didn't he, am I being a country hick? Or he said something like that. He called himself a hick, didn't he? Did you see what I saw?
Yeah.
Which actually was quite funny, I thought. But Rory said to Ruth, or Rory, it's so confusing because Alice calls him Rory. Julianne calls him Rory.
Yeah.
And Ruth just, Rory. Anyway, but Rory said to
Ruth calls him, yeah, idiot.
Rory, is that Rory? She's obsessed with him, isn't she? But she said to him, oh, he said, no, well, after the funeral, I'm going to go back to uni. And she was like, what? No, Rory, your home is here. And I was like,
of course
he's going to go back to university.
Yeah.
Are you suggesting he drops out of uni? Or like, I mean, of course it's a terror, you know, but that life goes on and you don't not go back to uni after
Ambridge isn't his home anyway. He spent most of his life in Ireland.
Exactly. He hasn't been back to Ambridge for months. But I hate that sort of like, this is your home.
Yeah. You've got to feel some allegiance to it, even if you actually don't at all. You've just got to because it's expected.
But clearly he has been summoned back. Mm. You're right. Because she did that thing, didn't she, of making him jealous by saying, oh, I'll be able to find someone else to take me to the barbecue. What a funny place to go.
She is absolutely nuts, isn't she?
She is.
She is, yeah. Totally, yeah. She's going to go full bunny boiler.
Yeah, and Chris clearly saw straight
through it. And it will be Alice and Chris that rescues him.
God, Alice does my head in there. Mm. Now, see, that's the thing. I love Alice when she's fun, but grieving Alice. Now we're back to, oh my God, we're back to all that sort of, that sad voice.
Yeah.
I can't bear it. It's awful.
But it wasn't just a sad voice. Now, who was it? Now then, yes. It was Daniel Millichip. That's it.
Oh yeah.
Who said... Just a quick note that Ambridge has had a massive week. We say goodbye to Jenny and we also broke the space-time continuum in a single room. Alice was speaking at 1.25 speed compared to the rest of the characters in Monday's episode. Did you not notice?
What, slower?
Much quicker.
When she went, oh, no, but that was her. I think that was her way of being like, I'm just going to tell Rory the news because I'm so upset that this is, I just have to get out.
But the way she was talking, sounded as if she'd been speeded up. It was
Rory,
really
I have
peculiar.
To tell you, your mum has died. Rory, I have to tell you, our mum has died. It's like, and then it's like this. But I think that's her way of...
It was before she went to see Rory. It was when they first told her the news.
Oh, and she was talking double speed.
Yeah, it was so peculiar. I'm going to see if I can find Monday's episode because it was really odd.
Maybe that was a sort of editorial decision. They just sped her up.
Speed her up.
Because she was being self-indulgent.
If only they'd done that with Adam. We could have just had 3 quick sighs and it could all have been over.
The best bit was when Adam, on that episode, pre-Jenny. Before Jenny... Adam and Alice, were I don't know what they were doing, but anyway, the kids were playing, weren't they? And Adam said, oh, don't worry about Xander, he's just playing with his blocks. But it sounded a bit like, don't worry about Xander, he's just playing with his bollocks. Well, it didn't, but I read too much into that he was playing with his bollocks. Bollocks. Playing with
bollocks.
His what? Bollocks. He loves playing with his blocks. That was a funny old scene, wasn't it?
Yes, but they had to get them all together, didn't they?
Of course they did. Yeah, of course they did.
So Kate then turns up because they're all expected to be late and she's on time.
And then what was the point then of Do you think Nolly's going to come over now? Because why would they have gone to the sort of faffle of a Jacob getting a ticket for her to go to South Africa if she wasn't ever going to go in the first place?
I've no idea.
Anyway, do you think your affair... Well, who
knows? No, because now they were sounding really close, weren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, but it just made me wonder why... I mean, unless they were sort of... Because they wanted to introduce the concept of Nolly again.
Remind us.
And it would make sense for Nolly and her brother to come back, wouldn't it, for the funeral?
Yeah.
I hope they do. And sure, come on, you've got to have Debbie back.
I really hope so.
They can't not have Debbie. Yeah. I'm so sorry I couldn't make the funeral today, guys. I'm still in Hungary. Sending all love. I've sent a big bouquet saying... I've sent a mum bouquet for the... mummy. For the coffin. But anyway, see you guys. See you soon. Love ya. love you. Bye. Yeah, no, they've got to have... She can't be on the phone at the funeral. They can't be live streaming it to her. We need to hear her. I'll be upset otherwise. She owes it to Angie, to be fair. Doesn't she?
Yes. Yes, she does.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
She owes it to her mama.
Did you know that Jenny is Dan and Doris's daughter? Or granddaughter? Daughter. I didn't know she was sort of the... You know, like, she's... Because she's now an Aldridge, but I didn't sort of... I hadn't really understood how significant her role in Ambridge was before and what a sort of prominent family she comes from.
Yeah. I liked them putting her photo up in the ball, though. That's nice.
Yeah, Dan and Doris's grandchild, wasn't she?
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, what did you say?
I liked them putting her photo up in the ball.
Yeah.
I thought that was nice.
Yeah.
We were back to the nudist drill again, weren't we? Did you notice?
Stella, stop talking about the nudist drill.
Yeah, no one cares. Stella, get it, Stella. Don't get it. Who cares?
Oh, Stella, come on, please just read the room.
Yeah.
Read the room.
But like, I want to know.
It's going to go up by £150 in 2024, so we need to get it. No, it's like, come on, Stella. Come on, Jenny's literally died.
But I love the fact Ruth's going... Oh, just do it, because it's not her money. And then Adam's not really listening. He's like, buy what? And you just, that's fine, whatever. I don't care. I haven't got time.
Buy the nudist drill.
Yeah.
I've already got one, but that's for a different purpose. But isn't it 150 grand? And if Brian said, actually, I don't feel comfortable about this, I would suggest just not buying it yet, even if the cost is going to go up.
Also, can I boringly point out that for a purchase of that size, you'd have to have something countersigned by other members of the firm.
Is it?
You wouldn't be... It is. So right. you wouldn't just be allowed to go off and piss 150 grand up the wall.
That's because where's she going to get the money from? Is there just a bank account with 150 grand?
Well, I think it's what she's doing is signing up for the commitment that they are going to get it.
Right. Oh, and then they're going to pay it in installments.
Yes.
Oh, it's all going to end. But then
Brian will retire, won't he? And then they'll find that they've got this big debt of this nudist drill, and etc. etc.
Actually, I could use that for one of my workshops.
I haven't drilled a nudist for ages.
The outdoor rain. Very good for the outdoor rain workshop. You can make a well.
Not on my land.
She can't talk. She's speechless. She's still getting over thingy.
She's still walking around with a big...
Yeah.
Ouchie.
Yeah. She's still walking like John Wayne around the village. Oh, dear. Email from Morgan Johnson, who says...
Hello. Yeah.
By the time you get this, this scene will be over a week old, but I'm surprised you didn't say more about the banter between Kate and Rex while he fixed the roof in the rain. Kate was talking about how cold rain can actually be good for you, and Rex parroted it all back to her. Then Krusty arrived,
yes, he did.
And he repeated it all again.
Yes.
He was completely making fun of Kate, yeah. And it's the first scene in quite a while that made me laugh out loud and rewind.
I do remember that, actually. It was quite funny. He kept repeating it.
But he does that.
But he was going slowly mad as well, I think, wasn't he? Because he was so cold.
Yeah, well, he was hypothermic and, you know, with the rain bouncing off his cagoule hood while Kate whittered on about chakras and things. We were spot on in our prediction, weren't we? We said it's going to be a quiet week because there's going to be a big week next week, and bingo.
You knew it. You knew it, Lucy.
I felt it in my water.
As soon as you saw drama plus police sirens in London, you knew it was coming. Except I thought that they had gone to London, but of course they'd gone to
Warwick.
Stratford.
Yes.
Warwick. To a lovely spa place. You do get nice spa places up there, don't you?
Yes. Maria Taylor said, what is this trickery? Your predictions were so accurate. Oh, I would like you to let me have this week's lottery numbers. I have never played before, but it's never too early to start. Thanking you muchly, Maria.
I'm quite good at lottery numbers.
When you say good at them, you mean you've won a lot of money?
Once I won £10.
Right.
Here are my numbers. 23, 37, 44, 10, 5, 1.
Right. And you've once won £10.
£10.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. How long has the lottery been?
Well, I won £10. I think I was about 19.
Okay.
So when
you say you're quite good at the lottery, what you mean
week,
is
Lucy.
I'm not quite... Sorry?
I don't play every week.
Oh, okay.
But they are lucky numbers.
They are they?
You know, okay. I mean...
clearly, because you won £10 and you probably only spent about 400, so
exactly.
That's good.
Exactly. Mm. It's the odds were good.
Mm.
So, well, try it and see.
Okay.
Try it and see.
But if they try it and see and they win, they'll then have to share the money with you, which you won't like.
Ooh.
Yes.
I would like it if they have to share the money with me. Of course I would. If they won £100,000.
No, but if they won £100,000 with your numbers and you hadn't put any money on, you wouldn't get anything.
No, I'd just be happy for them.
Oh, yeah, you wouldn't.
Honestly, I'm not a selfish person. I would just be delighted for them. They could buy me a drink, couldn't they?
Can you imagine if we get an email next week going,
oh my God,
thanks
I
to Harriet,
Yay!
I've won 700. Mm.
And I won't even be able to remember what numbers they were.
No.
They weren't coming off. They are my favourite numbers.
Have I told you my national lottery story? Can I tell you my national lottery story?
It's not me.
I didn't know.
Is
I'm
that
not
why
a,
you're selling your house?
Yes. Yeah. My friend in the 90s was a foreign exchange dealer. And they worked on a big trading desk with lots of shouty men in braces. And it was pre-internet, and they were giving the office junior, they were all giving him 10 quid a week to put on their lottery numbers because they had a lottery syndicate.
Oh, yeah.
And one week, they won. They won like five numbers. But because between them, they'd put about 200 quid on, they were going to get a lot back. And the office junior turns up on Monday morning and they all went, yay, how much did we get? And he went, beg your pardon? And they said, all the colour drained out of his face. And they said, the syndicate, we won. And he'd been pocketing the money and not buying the...
No.
Yeah, and not buying the tickets. And he thought, they're not going to win, it doesn't matter.
Oh my God.
And they said, just... and especially, can you imagine how much testosterone was in that office?
Oh man.
And there's all of those... hoorays, and one little acneed office junior quietly pissing himself in fright.
Shit.
Because for a year he'd just been taking the money and not buying the ticket.
God. Oh, that's awful. That's actually quite a sad story all around, isn't it? I don't like it. Delete that story. It's made me really depressed. Because I I feel sorry for everyone. I
don't feel sorry for the Hoorays. They didn't deserve it, but
oh no! Did you ever watch The Syndicate?
Well, I kind of thought, you know, they were all sort of real full on Tory Hooray. So I thought, there you go, private enterprise. He's just pocketing the money. You're all for that. Shut up, moaning. Anyway, did I watch Syndicate? No, I did not watch Syndicate.
It was good, actually. Was it? I enjoyed that. The first series, anyway. Why were we talking about the national? Oh, yes, because of the prediction. Yay!
Because next week someone is going to win £1 million with your money, your numbers, and you're going to be spitting feathers. Andrew Stewart said, I'm a bit disappointed by the Jenny Darling hospital scene. I thought she deserved better. Oh. Sounded a bit like it had been shat out of the autoscript machine. However, I will let them off so long as no scene this week includes the line, I just don't believe it. If I hear this, I will throw an Alice brick through the nearest village shop window. You have been warned, people of Dore. So, yes, if anyone is suddenly finds themselves showered in broken glass at any point in the village of Dore last week, it was because Andrew was annoyed because someone had said, I just don't believe it. Not in a Victor Meldrew way, I don't think, but just generally.
No, I just don't believe it. Yes. Jenny, she is a fine woman.
A lot of people said, I can't believe it, or I still can't believe it, but they hadn't said, I don't.
No, but that is what you say, isn't it, when something like that happens, because you don't believe it.
And you go back and you said, I only saw her, you know. 3 days ago, and she looked fine, as if the person's going to be. I only saw her, and she looked a bit dead then, you know. It's just.
I didn't mind the hospital scene. I thought it was good that they all managed to get there, to be honest, even if she'd already died.
More than the royals could manage. I think it, as well, there was one very moving bit where I suddenly went, oh dear, when it went from they're doing all they can to when they said they saw Brian, the children, and they said, Dad, what's happening? And he said, they did all they could.
Yeah.
And then you realised, oh God, she's actually gone. And yeah.
Oh, that is horrible, isn't it? And poor old Lillian, because you would sort of... It's the worst for her, isn't it? Because of course, to be fair to Lillian, she is always going to think, but if I'd known Jenny was ill, I wouldn't have... left her alone. What was she doing, having a massage? Or did she die in the jacuzzi? I can't remember.
No, she just keeled over in the hotel room.
Yeah, she got tired, didn't she?
Yeah, Lillian went off for a something.
Oh, darling, that's a wonderful... I do have a sixth sense, darling. Oh, yes, that's wonderful. Me and my sister, we're terribly close. keep going.
Maybe she'd gone off for a poo in the hotel poo loo, see? And then it all happened in her absence.
Oh, God, no, stop it. Oh, you mean Lillian?
Yes! No, not Jenny. It's not like Elvis. She didn't die on the bog.
Sisters wouldn't need to use the poo loo because you can poo. Really?
Yeah.
You wouldn't poo in your bedroom loo?
No.
What? In front of your sister?
No.
Does she not like your poos? I thought the hotel... I mean, I would only use it if I'm rooming with somebody I didn't know that well, like a new boyfriend, or that's not gonna happen for a while, is it? Or a girlfriend that I didn't know so well,
okay,
who I thought might be disgusted.
I don't think anyone deserves that.
It's just a fruity smell, Lucy.
Sure.
There's windows and all that, fans.
No, well, anyway.
Interesting that. What does Charlotte think?
I don't know.
Let's get in touch.
We had enough complaints about my feet. I don't think we need to start getting complaints about my poo now. Thank you very much.
Oh, God.
Let's hope no one tuned into this for a reverential look at the life of Angela Piper, because you haven't got it.
No, because also that was the problem until they got to the bill, was that nobody...
Yeah.
You know, God, when my mum died, we were like, you know, cracking jokes the day. You just do, don't you? To get through sadness, you have to, you know, most people anyway, I think, have to have a good old laugh as well. Otherwise, you know, it's terrible otherwise, isn't it?
Mm.
To get through the bleakness.
Yes.
Humans don't ever lose their sense of humour.
No.
And, you know, at least, you know, the least they could have done was gone, here's to Mum, or, you know, celebrated her.
Yeah. But and I guess thank God they did. Shock. But except not the family, obviously. It was all the people that actually liked her, had some respect
Where
for her.
Where is her will? Yeah. I mean, Stella.
Oh,
don't
my
talk
God. That's
going to
be the next thing, isn't it?
Yeah, mm. Isn't it? Isn't it?
Who is my father?
Did Adam Vader. Ever know? Adam must have known who his father is.
Well, I know he's got red. Don't everyone write in, but he's got red hair, and Paddy Redmayne had red.
Right,
not
okay.
Redmayne, because then that's too obvious that he's got red hair. No, Redmond. Redmond.
Phil Redmond.
Yeah, yes,
off
him.
Yeah, off, the red yeah. of Brookside. Yeah.
Right, this is from Michael Gorman, our
hello,
celebrity librarian.
Yes.
Celebrity librarian / 1930s doorman, who said, if you're thinking that Lee's ex, Alicia, is seeking sunshine in San Francisco, please note Mark Twain once wrote, the coldest winter I ever spent was a summer in San Francisco. You have to go to more southerly parts of the Golden State for reliable sunshine.
Oh.
By the way, Gay Grable sounds like a line of chorus boys, all Betty Grable impersonators. Sorry if the reference is too old for you. It's too old for her, but I get it, Michael. And that's partly why I like saying Gay Grables, I think. It's very childish.
I didn't know it wasn't sunny the whole time in San Fran.
No.
Gosh. I just assumed it's the Sunshine State.
No. That's California, isn't it?
No. Isn't it all sort of linked?
I don't know. Don't ask me geography things.
Where did David Hockney paint those swimming pools?
California.
Okay, that's where I want to go.
Okay, LA.
But San Francisco is the beautiful city, isn't it? Like
that's the one with all the massive hills where What's Up Doc was filmed. Hoorah.
Right, yeah. Yes. Yeah, that looks great too.
Yes. This is from Jane in Cornwall, who said, it's a strange... Cooper is rummaging through his toy box behind me. He's looking
bless
for
him.
His teddy, which is buried at the bottom.
Yeah.
It's a strange experience this week, being a longtime Archers fan. I'm not sure I have felt grief this tangibly in any other drama. The actors are expressing raw grief totally convincingly, and the scriptwriter's done a brilliant job. I came across an old interview of Charles Collingwood the other day, and he said lovely things about the character Jenny and Angela Piper. It's been a tough listen at times this week and must have been difficult for the cast and writers, but chapeau everyone, and thanks Angela for the many years of pitch-perfect acting.
Oh, that is a brilliant email.
It is.
We should have actually started the podcast.
Yes.
With that email. I feel bad.
Talking about poo. Anyway.
I feel bad for slagging everyone off for being so horrible. No, exactly. It was all very... I was super sad. I felt so when she died. I can't remember which day it was now. Was it Sunday night? No, it wasn't Sunday night, was it?
It was Monday night.
It was so sad. I thought that you know, after the hospital, I genuinely, as most people did, felt proper grief.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's a loss. Partly because she's. Was such a good character as well. I mean, I found her intensely irritating, but it didn't stop me recognising that she was a really good character.
I suppose we knew it was coming though, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
I suppose that probably took... Because actually, if you hadn't known that she was ill in real life, it must have been an awful shock.
Well, when Nigel took the header off the roof...
Oh, yeah.
Somebody leaked the Shake and Ambridge to its core thing, didn't they? Because the... Do you remember?
Oh, yes, that's right.
Shake Ambridge to the core. Because the hashtag SATTC kept popping up all over the Archers things. And
right.
I was thinking, what the hell is this? And then realised what it was.
Right.
Because they said, we want an event that'll shake Ambridge to its core. To the core. So people were braced for that.
Yeah.
I think John dying was the last one I can remember that absolutely came out of a clear blue sky.
Oh,
and everyone
that,
just went,
oh,
what?
Awful. That's awful. But also, that's a young person as well. So that takes it to another level.
But that was pre-Twitter. So I don't know, because I only twigged that something was going to happen with Jenny when someone else looked forward and said, oh, it says there's going to be something, you know. So maybe social media has now put the kibosh on building up any a real surprise.
The shock factor.
Mm. Yeah. But do they do that on purpose because they want a greater listenership for everyone wanting to find out what it is? So we know something's coming and we don't know what it is. Like, you know, EastEnders leaks major plot
I think
shock
have
for
be,
blah, blah, blah.
But it wasn't an obvious one because it didn't say drama in, you know, Stratford or Lillian leaves the jacuzzi early. It wasn't like, it could have been anything. Like I thought it could have been Rory.
Yeah.
But so I think they were very subtle about it. Mm. And I think lots of people didn't. I mean, you know, for a lot of people, I think it was a shock.
Yeah.
And yeah. Anyway, super sad.
Suggestion from Jackie Allingham
it's
for
super
you.
Super sad as well. Well, because we know that, because actually if it had just been that she was retiring.
Yeah, like Shula.
Yeah. But actually because we know she's ill, that makes it much more real, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And, you know, and a real sadness. But life goes on. Yeah.
A suggestion from Jackie Allingham for you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you were looking for sunny programmes. She said,
yes, watch I need them more than ever.
Watch The Durrells on Amazon Prime. It is always sunny
every
there.
Every single. I loved, that's one of my favourite shows ever made.
Yeah,
I mean, that's exactly the sort of recommendation I was looking for, except that I've seen them all a million times.
Okay.
I love The Durrells.
Okay.
That's exactly what. That's perfect escapism.
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't know they were on Amazon Prime, actually. Yeah. Might have to rewatch.
This is from Kate Palazzola. I know I should be thinking about the grieving Aldridges, and of course I am, but I have been
that.
Very.
I love that she had to. But
she's
I
really
mean,
guilty
I am
about
really
it.
Sad about it, but.
But at the same time, I've been very preoccupied with a theory. Now, she's added to her email. She's added, you know, on crime dramas, they have the clue board where it's there's a notice board completely covered in bits of paper with arrows and triangles and things linking other bits of paper.
Yeah.
Well, she's basically sent me a picture of an equivalent of that.
Wow.
I don't know where she's nicked it from anyway. this is her theory, right? So Jakob leaves town and the moment he's gone, his brother arrives. They look exactly alike. Everyone remarks on it. So I think Eric is Jakob. Jakob is so tightly wound, the only way he can let his hair down and eat his nibbles straight off the furniture is to pretend to be his own carefree younger brother. It's straight out of The Importance of Being Earnest. Jakob is hardcore bumbrying. And when he's ready to be Jakob again, Eric has to leave town suddenly for a job. I know what you're thinking. But Katie, they sound completely different. Of course they do. Katie, that's not what we're thinking. We're thinking you need help.
Sleep.
But yes, Jakob is a details man. He's carefully honed his alter ego right down to the voice. What a nice touch to ask Kate whether Eric smashed a bottle of his red. You know full well he did. It was you what done it. Oh dear.
I love
Then she says, I'm a little behind on episodes, so please forgive me if this or a similar theory has already been brought to your attention. No, Katie, astonishingly enough, no one else has come up with this utterly berserk theory.
Also, because we've been preoccupied with what happened this week.
The death, yes.
Katie needs to catch up on sleep and
sleep,
the
sanity, anything else. Yeah.
She's got a little one though, hasn't she?
She has, yes. this is from Steve Barry, who says, a few thoughts. He's going back to blah, 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 blah. He's going back to the Will, Lee and the girls go to LA.
The girls.
A few thoughts. I cannot help feeling that Helen, and fair play, as Harriet says, she is consistently selfish and egocentric. But expecting Lee to act as surrogate stepfather without the readiness to, if necessary, step up into the same role is a new high, even for Helen. I have seen in lots of blended families that I know that the new partners seem surprised that they do not feel the same about your offspring as they do about their own. I did wonder if I'd tuned into some bizarre radio version of Hollyoaks listening to Brad and Chelsea go on and on and on. I felt a little sorry for Brad, but there is no way he was going to be allowed. He was going to be allowed for it to work. With regards to cost from Pershaw, the closest station to Inkbarrow, supposedly one of the models for Ambridge, is £20 for the young person's rail card. We said somebody would know, didn't we? There we go.
We did.
As for the Jim and Justin doing a poor impression of Open All Hours, the less said of that, the better. Lastly, Harriet, Death in Paradise is definitely the answer.
Okay.
Lots of sunshine, interesting enough plots, and only an hour. What's not to like?
That is, and for some reason, what I actually downloaded this week to watch on the tube was The Handmaid's Tale.
Oh my God, that's cheery. It's always raining in The Handmaid's Tale.
I watched.
That's
like,
why they wear those hats, to keep the rain.
Yeah, because I didn't
scooting
watch
down
it
their back.
First time round because I knew I'd be so depressed and upset when I watched it. But I was like, but for some reason I downloaded it and then I was watching it going, I'm so depressed and upset. I don't know what I'm doing, but it's so compelling that it's quite addictive, isn't it? But I can only watch it on the tube because it's too bleak to watch it at my house, if you know what I mean. So I'm only doing small doses. But yes, it's the wrong thing. I've got to exchange it for Death in Paradise.
Okay. Death in Paris.
Or Death in Paris would be good, wouldn't it?
This is from Dan and James's auntie Jo, Jo O'Leary, who says, all the feet talk, don't worry everybody, we're not going, all the feet talk on the pod last week has got to me. I spent the episode when Alice was gently breaking the news to Rory, wondering about the state of Julianne's bunions. After hearing Adam drone on all week, like Harriet, we'll all need some sunshiny TV to lift the January Jenny Darling gloom. Dan is your man for all things Death in Paradise.
Ooh, okay.
Perhaps a Death in Paradise Archer's mashup is on the cards next time Febreze is away from Radio Borsetshire. Speaking of which, is he in the running to replace the mighty Ken Bruce? That feels a suitably random prediction. Oh my God, don't give him any ideas. And this is Olivia, who says, what a week. It has been written so touchingly.
Yeah.
And clearly by someone with huge emotional intelligence. The build-up of all the cheery family dynamics over Sunday dinner was beautifully written, making their grief all the more excruciating. The scene with Kate and Jacob was beautifully played by both actors. Kate's fluctuation between grief, guilt and questions like why Jenny framed the photo of Kuwait was exquisite. When my grandfather died suddenly, I felt guilty for not having rung him the night before, and my mother told me that one always feels guilty when someone dies, which brought me weird comfort when she died, and the guilt all around has been portrayed beautifully.
Yeah.
I think any doubts we might have had about why Julianne has to pay for company has been firmly dispelled. She's been in an intimate relationship with Rory, for maybe a year, and she couldn't have had less interest in being kind to him. She was devoid of empathy, compassion, sympathy, or any other standard human emotion and couldn't boot him out quickly enough. I wonder if this will be the end of their arrangement. Surely he is going to have to start engaging with how he feels, and that will not be wildly sexy for her. If he doesn't start feeling something, then I really fear for his future sanity. Not sure I'm ready for another mental health storyline. I cannot believe she doesn't even know what siblings he has. Hope whoever she takes to the Barbican pushes her down those gigantic concrete steps. Olivia.
You just die of boredom anyway when you're at the Barbican.
Exactly.
Although I think there's a good exhibition there at the moment.
Is there?
Funnily enough, I think maybe there's a Paul Arago exhibition or something. It came up on my Instagram and I was like, oh, that's what Julianne's going to. And then I was like, no, it's not real. It's not real.
Andrew Stewart said, okay, so my worst fears re-post-mortem scripting were unfounded and instead they went for Hollyoaks meets Knives Out. But this still leaves a vital question. Where the hell is Debbie? Is she going to attend a funeral on Zoom, muted?
Yes.
Daniel Everett, who said, I can't remember who
Alice,
it was.
It's Alice Neal at the Barbara.
Yeah. I can't remember who it was, but when someone was talking to Brian, they were being so insensitive, they might as well said, last time I saw your dead wife, she was so alive and definitely not dead. Because remember, she's not alive
was
now.
Was it Tony? Was it Neil?
As I sometimes feel I am emotionally colourblind, I laughed out loud when Kate wept. I can still feel her unique aura. I can't be the only one who feels that Rory is being so self-entitled and sounds really similar to Ben. I literally imagine him, Ben and Josh all looking the same but with different hair colours. Yes, they are. There is a definite young male.
Whiny male.
Yes. Whiny male. So this is Claire, Daniel's mum. It made me quite tearful initially, but I loved the Aldridge apocalypse, which cheered my spirits considerably. Good job we have the emotional intelligence of Tony and Pat on hand. I reckon by the end of February, we'll have Stella and Ruth shacked up in the farm office with a massive nudist drill, Justin demoted to T-boy and Adam and Brian as farmhands. Bring on the revolution with love, Claire Everett. And Becky Sheaves said, is it just me? Or isn't Ruth being odd with Rory? He turns up unexpectedly after his beloved stepmother dies, and Ruth just says brightly, "Cup of tea," as if nothing has happened, and then chirps, "How are things at home?" He is understandably a bit stuck for words, so then she says, "Is this because of Jennifer being ill?" No, Ruth, it's because of Jennifer, his mother figure and the one person who was raised and nurtured him, being all of a sudden dead. Earth to Robo-Ruth. You're going to be rumbled as an extraterrestrial or chatbot or whatever it is you really are if you carry on like this. All the best. Becky from the real-life Cuckoo Down Farm in Darkest Devon.
I noticed that, Becky, because it confused me because I thought, oh, right, she doesn't know Jenny's ill because she was so bright and bright. And then she went, is this because Jenny's ill?
They're looking a bit down or something happened.
How's it all going?
With the whole dead mother thing.
Yeah, I know. It was very, very odd. But I guess she was trying to pep him up.
Dear God.
It's Julianne's job.
She has to be politer to him than she can be to her own sons, to whom she is deeply, offensively rude most of the time.
Well, she feels she has a special bond with him, doesn't she? Because she's
representative on Earth.
But yeah.
Yes.
But he was clearly just sort of, leave me alone.
Yeah.
I hate you! I hate everyone!
But poor Brian, everywhere he goes, someone's like, Brian! Brian! Come on! And he's like, oh my God, I just want some, you know, and he's even said, I just want to be left alone. And they're like, no, you don't. Come to the pub.
Surprise!
Yeah. Apart from his own family, who clearly don't want him. But no.
Is Brian still here? I mean, I have moved into his house, but... Yeah, but they're just so annoying.
But
all
like,
of them.
David was shouting at him. It was like Father Ted. He was shouting at him for three fields away. Brian, I hooted and you pretended not to hear me. Brian's going to open.
What happened in 1976? Yeah. Well, on the first of. I mean, they're so good at dates, aren't they, in Ambridge, because they've got them all.
I can barely remember my own date of birth. The idea that I'd know where I was in 1993, and I've absolutely no. No
2:30,
clue.
2:07 p.m. I mean, it went out. But
Right.
Yes.
And now we are going to cross to Radio Borsetshire, because Febreze has got his own, God help us, tribute to Jenny Darling.
Radio Borsetshire.
Colin, do you have cleaner? No, not screen cleaner. I have my Jo Maloney geranium and rice water wipes. I mean a real cleaner that can come in and poof up cushions and over. Declan is allergic to moving about a lot, I think, so he cannot do it. And now I am Eurovision ambassador, I do not have time to also fiddle about with a Henry. Can you recommend? Yes, I did have one before, but she used my Evelyn buffing cloth to do the grout. So I say, no, Martinka, this is not okay. And she say, well, Febreze, I was going to leave anyway, as you are a perfection, and I am tired of making pyramid out of cotton wool balls. But it look good, and I saw on Instagram. Also, rolling up the towel sideways, that is very style. So, do you have one? Yes. No? Now. Hello, this is me, Febreze of Felpersham, looking like I have just stepped out of the salon, because I have. Today, I am sad. I have lost one of my favourite customer. She have been coming to me for many year. Last year, I talk about the death of Queen Elizabeth the Tooth, and Jennifer remind me of her, although Jennifer was a bit more regal. There are some women who always have fresh flowers in different rooms. They always know what they are have for dinner. They are always up and dressed by 7:30 with just a bit of lip gloss. I have to be up at 5 a.m. just to get lash extensions in by 7:30 a.m. I am like Ill Farmer, but with better nails. My mother is one of these ladies, like Jennifer, but with more shout and gunfire. They are proper women, like on black and white film, where they only cry with one eye and bite their lip. My grandfather was awful man like my father, and my mother was same as Jennifer. Tough, and she survive. She can sound very sweet, but when you look in her eye, there is bullet looking back at you. I know, Jennifer was a snob. So is my mother. I was never allowed to play with my cousin who didn't have goat. But that is because when she grew up, she did not have goat, and she was scared of it. So that is why she wore the loafer and the pearl earring and said, "Oh, darling." Jennifer, I mean, not my mother. She did not wear loafer. She wear overall with flag of Eurovisia on it and a shoulder ulster. Every time I saw Jennifer, she asked me how I am and about the salon, and I ask her, and she always say, "Fine, thank you, Febreze." Sometimes she even say, "Super." But from all other client, I would find out she lost home, her husband Brain was with all other ladies, her son Roaring was not even her son, her girl had the drinking, and her other daughter wash air with plants and smell of moss. And Jennifer was unmarried mother, which was very exciting for Ambridge all that time ago, when you were only allowed to have sex with Squire Trelawney or whatever his name was. We should think about these women more, I think, the ones what keep it all together. Keeping it together means everyone else can fall apart, which is what they never get to do. I wonder if Jennifer want to fall apart ever. I fall apart about every 20 minutes, but I have Spacey NK makeup bag to deep breathe into. So, goodbye, Jennifer. She was always kind to everyone at salon. She never wore polo neck and tipped well. She may never have been in fashion, but she was always in style.
Radio Borsetshire.
Thank you, Febreze. Do you want to do this bit now?
Oh, I haven't got any
I'll do it.
Lines, sorry.
If you would like script, you mean? If you would like script. To visit patreon.com and look up Ambridge on the Couch, you can support us at any subscription level, which then means you get to attend our Zoomy Zoom on the 21st of February.
Very much approaching.
And very much approaching, yes. And as it is near-ish to Valentine's Day, we would like you to submit, if you want to, not compulsory, by the 14th of February.
But please, can some people do it?
They have. I have got six of them so far.
Wow. Mm. Ooh, it's going to be
they
close
have
call.
All made me laugh. A love poem about a character in The Archers. It can be a limerick or a roses are red, violets are blue. We spent too much time talking about Lucy's poo poem, but not anything longer than that. The judge of the poems will be Kerry Davis, and the winner will receive a limited edition, Ambridge on the Couch
mug. Still very much
approaching also.
Work in progress.
But slightly slower than the actual event it's for. Anyway, you can find us on Facebook, on Twitter, at On Ambridge. Febreze is at Fabulous Febreze. Or you can email us at ambridgeonthecouch@gmail.com.
Is it a good time for me to mention that I've just basically downed a delicious gin and tonic?
Oh, yes. I'm still heading through mine.
Oh, Lucy, it's blooming delicious.
It really is nice,
really
isn't it?
Needed it. So it's...
Did you just have the pinky one or the pale one?
No, I had the pale one, actually.
I had the pale one.
Yeah, I'm also saving the pink one for when I drink it with somebody else who's
I
not
I think my daughter has
the
stolen
air.
The pink one because it's disappeared.
God. She's taken it to York.
Yes. This is the problem with having
Cheeky.
Children of drinking age. It's not good. I mean, there are advantages in that they can make you cocktails, but it's slightly annoying when they then take them away again. But anyway. So we were sent some tiger gin.
Tiger gin, darling.
Matt Crawford's latest venture, much more successful than a Costa Rican race course. Based on the money stolen from a pensioner. And it's really, really good.
Bloody delicious, darling. Justin! Give me another!
So, Thank you very much.
Thank
to
you.
Tiger Gin. We
Thank
recommend you,
you
and I will actually, I don't know if...
We recommend you.
We recommend you. You'll be thrilled to hear. And I'm going to find out if I can get this in Waitrose because I really like it
well,
a lot.
I can't really tell one gin from the other.
I didn't think I could, but I can with this. I can Sipsmith and I can tell that.
Oh, God, I can tell this is a real gin as opposed to something without any hua in it.
No, that seed lip is the one without any
hua
in it.
Oh, that's the one. That's the one. That's the one. But whatever, it went down terribly well.
Bless
you. Bless you. Say thanks, yes. Tiger Gin.
Mm.
Tiger, and it's a good name. It's a good name, Tiger Gin.
It is. It makes makes you feel all 1920s and empire-ish. Yes, very good.
I don't think you're really allowed to feel that anymore, Lucy.
Oh, I don't feel that. I don't feel that. No, not at all. hardly at all.
it's basically what the Archers makes you feel like,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
But anyway, well, here is... Oh, Lucy, we can raise a glass then to Angie.
Yes, yes.
Here
Thank
is...
you very much, Angela Piper, for all your service.
And being a... Who will be a much... Much, I can't even talk now because I've drunk too much Tiger Gin. I'm getting emotional. Yeah, much missed character.
I think for me, Jenny's memorable moments were on the negative side, her saying, "Your elders and your betters" to Krusty. I'll never forgive her for that.
That's the thing. There isn't anyone else to do that.
No, no.
Or to have that relationship with Susan either.
Mm. Yeah.
There's
yes,
no one
the
else
unmitigated horror
snuggery.
At discovering that her daughter was a Carter. That was
But
worth.
You see, that. See, this is another revelation, because I'd always just assumed Jenny was a snobby, snooty sort of person. But she wasn't. She didn't come from that world,
no.
did she?
But she adopted it so thoroughly, she became more it than people who were born into it, as
right.
often happens, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like people who move to France and become more French than the French.
Yeah.
Because they're trying so hard to prove themselves.
Yeah.
And you get a bit scared. You can't ever let your guard down in case somebody, you know, finds out.
Yeah.
And I think the chats she had with Rory were absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Her frosty relationship with Caroline, when she was Caroline Bone, I loved.
Because did Brian have an affair
yeah,
with Caroline?
Of course.
Cheeky.
And... What else? The tagine. The stuff about the Albion kitchen actually was one of my favourites, I think. The hot water tap and the showing off about it and sort of having an open house to display her kitchen and
yeah. well,
Brian not
Jenny's
being able to
kitchen.
Understand how he made anything work and all that. And
it's
the white
end of an
fridge.
Era, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because also she is of that sort of Argus saga, Joanna
yeah.
Trollope
yeah.
age, isn't
yeah.
she? And that's not, doesn't, sort of doesn't, it's not really very, well, it's not very Alamo, is it?
No.
So, yeah.
I think Jenny Darling was what everybody that doesn't listen to The Archers imagined
yes.
all of the characters were like and how they imagined everybody that listened was like
yes.
as well.
That's a really good point.
Apart yeah. from, you know, the Joe Grundys and all that. They sort of got that. But the Lady of the Manor type, that's what they thought.
Yeah.
Well, R.I.P. Jenny.
R.I.P. Jenny.
And now,
anyway, yep.
In a
now.
Totally oh, yeah. surprising end.
Hang on, have we done our that scene that we? Oh no, is that going to be for next week? That sketch.
That's for next week.
Oh, that's good. That's yeah. something to look forward to, isn't it?
Mm,
I'm excited
yeah,
about that.
Yeah, it's good. We are going to hear, because it is Chinese New Year at the moment. Did you know that?
What's that got to do with our sketch?
Nothing.
Okay.
We're going to play Matt, aren't I?
Oh,
K-pop. Oh. This so is the problem with you not having the script. Despite the fact that we do this every sodding week, you still don't know in what order anything happens.
No, okay. I thought you were going to put another sketch in.
No, now we're going to do the monologue, Harriet, and start all over again, shall
can
we?
Can we just start with one of those nice emails about Jenny?
Okay.
Oh, great. So, yeah. So
it is Chinese New Year. It is the year of the rabbit.
Yay.
Yay.
Cute.
Rabbit, the year of the rabbit.
No.
I love a rabbit.
So Matt has done a Chinese New Year Archers theme.
Amazing.
Which is really good. But he uses that And I've realised I love it. It's one of my favourite instruments. And he's told me what it's called. Now I've forgotten.
Oh, what is it? Like
it begins with a Y. Ying something. Yang something. Oh. But it's gorgeous.
Oh,
it's just really lovely.
Yes,
kind of. Anyway, I'm going to play it now. You ready?
Yeah, can't wait.
What she would have wanted, Harriet.
It's very Jenny Darling. It's the very pillow book.
I think that it's gorgeous.
Oh, beautiful. Truly beautiful.
And I love the fact that there's all these different melodies going on underneath.
I mean, it's incredible. At the start, I thought, you'll never get the Archers tune in there.
Yeah,
so clever, Matt.
I know. He's amazing.
Oh, what a gorgeous tribute to our Jenny.
Well, no, he did say, I am deliberately doing something totally un-Jenny Darling. Because, you know, the only thing, you kind of imagine Jenny Darling would like maybe a bit of Prokofiev or maybe like something like the Trout Quintet or something very, you know.
Yes. But, well, that was absolutely spectacular.
I know. I love it. I'm going to play it again.
And
on
I'd
my
like
own.
To know
to
what that.
My playlist.
I want to listen. Are you going to play it again? Because I'll listen at the end.
Yes.
And what is the instrument called?
Can't remember because I've lost his email.
Someone will tell us.
Don't you huff and puff at me, lady who hasn't even got a script.
Well, it's because I wrote loads of notes this week. Mm. I actually mostly what I did was copy and pasted the brilliant article about the interview with Jenny.
Okay.
But I thought I probably shouldn't read the whole thing out because you could just go and look at it yourselves. But
why should we do the hard work for you? That's what we want to know.
If you're interested, just Google Jenny Darling. No, Jenny, 50 years, Kerry Davis. No, thank you, Matt. That was awesome.
Yes, I loved it. Oh, hang on. I found the thing.
Oh, okay.
Yes, he said, I intentionally avoided the Jenny Darling-shaped elephant in the room out of respect, especially for Angela Piper.
Totally. Fair enough. I'm glad someone's got some sense.
Yes. Yes.
How's your magic tricks coming on, by the way?
Don't want to talk about it. Thank you. They're a lot harder than they seem.
Talking of rabbits, the year of the rabbit.
Have I produced any out of a hat?
Yeah, have you?
No, I have not.
Have you done anything? Mm-mm. Card trick? Can you do the one where it sticks to the ceiling?
What?
You know, like someone chooses a card, then they put it back in the pack and then the magician shuffles or whatever. Then he throws the cards up into the air and your card sticks to the ceiling.
Of course I can't do that.
Come on, Lucy. It's nearly February.
I can't even shuffle without most of them going on the floor.
Can you not do a special shuffle yet?
No! It's only February. Actually, it's not. It's January.
Get
still.
Motivated.
Anyway, I found it. Okay. The instrument I think you mean, he says, is called a yangqin.
Oh, yangqin. That's lovely.
Right.
Okay, thanks very much for having me. See you next week.
Yes, and we will play out with the Chinese New Year of the Rabbit.
Yay!
Lovely Archers.
What a great
music.
New Year as well.
Yay. Happy that's New Year.
That's something happy to have happened in January.
Yes.
The Year of the Rabbit has arrived.
Yes.
Hooray! Hop, hop, hop. That wasn't very rabbity, was it? Sounded more villainy.
Hop, hop. I'm just playing it over again. Okay. You're not going to stop talking.
Pause it. I need to carry on.
You want to do hop, hop, hopping,
no,
do you?
No, I don't. That's what you played at the beginning of the episode.
Yes, I know. It's because I hit the wrong button. I told you. Do we need to revisit my past mistakes? If we do, we could be here for a while.
No, it's a blooming tiger gin. It's got to me. I can't shut up now. Okay. Cheers.
Bye.
Bye.
It's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.